Parshas Ki Tavo contains 98 curses. I'm not learning about the curses. So we're going to go to the end of the Parsha, and we are going to read about the reassuring conclusion. When the people heard the 98 curses from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they remembered the 48 curses from the end of Leviticus, from Parshas B'chol Kresei, they turned green. And they said, we can't do this. It's not going to work. So Moshe Rabbeinu reassures them, says, relax. It's 40 years, you're still standing. Everything will be just fine. In the seventh reading, which is the beginning of the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, seventh reading of Parshas Ki Tavo, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael, Moses summons all of Israel. Vayemer Aleim, and he says to them, Atem Ro'isem, you have seen. All the things that God did before your very eyes. Be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. Le'farei, to the Pharaoh, u'lechol avodav, and to all of his servants, u'lechol artzei, and to the entirety of his land. Why did Moshe summon the people? So, Rashi's perspective is, as he said, that the people got frightened when they heard all these curses. The Ibn Ezra says, the Jewish people, our ancestors, were about to enter into a covenant with Hashem, as next week's Torah portion begins with the words, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim, you're standing today. Now Rashi tells us on the words Atem Nitzavim Hayoim that Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people before he entered into this covenant, you're still standing, 98 curses, 48 curses last time, you're still standing, you'll be fine. But they're entering into a new covenant. And this new covenant, La'avrucha be'bris, so the Ibn Ezra says, the point here is that Moshe Rabbeinu gathers them. The reason it says, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael, the reason he calls all of Israel, is to gather them into this covenant. Now there is some rhyme and reason attached to this, because really and truly, think about the words that Moshe says. He says, Atem re'item, you saw. Who saw? Who saw? All the people saw? No. Many people born in the desert. Did they see? How could they have? In fact, most of the people who saw were no longer around. They died. The women who were there saw. The men didn't see. At least most of them didn't see. Which, of course, leads us into the question. Who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? Is it Atem Ritem? You saw. So Rashi doesn't say anything. And the reason I think he doesn't say anything is because it's easy to figure out. It's obvious that people who were at the age of 20 when there was the refusal to go into the land of Israel, that those people died. It says very clearly that people got counted. It was a census. The women were not part of the census, they didn't die. The men at the age of 20 were part of the census, they died. That means a person who left Mitzrayim when he was 19 years old would be how old now?
Plus
40.
59.
Be 59 years old.
40 years.
That's a big boy. It's a big boy. He has memories. It's not like a childhood. And people who were 17 when they left Mitzrayim, and people who were 16, and people who were 15, and so on and so forth. All these people, multitudes of people, they all saw. So it's not like Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to the walls. He is talking to all of the women, they saw. He's talking to many of the men. It's true, there were no old men that went into the land of Israel. The oldest amongst them, the oldest men, were 59 years old. And then, of course, there's the Levites. There were lots of old Levites, just not old everybody else. So as Rabbeinu Yosef Bechor Shar says, Atem Re'isam is, Moshe Rabbeinu's point is, I want to go back to the beginning of our peoplehood, from the time we came into our own, from the time we began as a nation, which is when we left Mitzrayim. So let's go back to the beginning. Why are we going back to the beginning? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say that after he recounts everything we saw, he's going to tell them, and now it's 40 years. 40 years is a very important threshold. It's a very important date. It's a very important watershed point, as we're going to see. What did they see? So Moshe Rabbeinu continues to detail what was seen in verse 2. Hamasos hagdolos asher ro'u einecha. There was lots of challenges and tests. There was Isis, there was Mason, there was miracles, there was wonders. Hagdolos mahem. You saw all of these things. What are the Masos HaGdolos? The Masos HaGdolos are the major acts of God. You saw all these acts of God. You saw all these things happen. Rashi doesn't need to comment. We have a whole Chumash about this. It was a whole narrative, a whole story. Everything from manna to quail, everything from water to came from a stone, to people who got swallowed up by the ground because they were rebellious and led a sedition against Moshe Rabbeinu. There's been a constant stream of miraculous events, a constant stream of acts of God. And you saw all of these things. And here Moshe Rabbeinu tells them in verse 3, "V'le'nosan Hashem lechem lev ladas." God did not give you a heart to know. "V'einayim lireis," and eyes to see. "V'oznayim lishmoya," and ears to hear. "Ad hayoyim hazeh," until this day. You didn't see nothing. You didn't hear anything. You didn't understand anything until today. This is like a contradiction. He starts off saying, "Atem re'isim," you saw. And now he says, "You never saw anything. You ain't seen nothing yet." So you want to talk about the past, or you want to talk about the future? You want to say, here's what you saw in the past, or you want to say, forget whatever was, you wait till you see what's coming? But really, if you look at verse 3, when he says, Hashem didn't give you a lev ladas, a heart to know, and I am lidis, adayim azeh, he doesn't speak about the future, because in verse 4, he says, V'oylech eschem v'midbar, ezobayim shalom v'midbar. I led you, I took you for 4 decades through the desert. Your clothing did not become torn and ragged. It did not fall apart. Your shoes didn't get worn out. So again, we're talking about the past. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, look what's coming. In verse 5, he says, Lechem le'achalti. Lechaltim, he didn't need bread. Yayim v'shecha le'shisisem. There was no alcohol to speak of. And all of this is l'man teidu k'ani Hashem alekechem. So in that case, you cannot say that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the future of what you're going to see, because he recounts in verse after verse, continues to recount what happened. In verses 2 and 3, in verses 1 and 2, he recounts going out of Egypt, the Exodus, and the immediate acts of God that accompanied that great moment. And then he speaks about the period in the desert, the 40 years in the desert. And here's what happened. And he speaks of the details of what happened. And then at the end of verses, he speaks about the specifics of the last couple of months, how the Jewish people had arrived at the eastern banks of the Jordan River, the miraculous battles, the capture of territory. So what's going on over here? And what's Hayoyim? What happened today? So Rashi explains in the following manner. V'leinosan Hashem lechem lev ladas. God didn't give you a heart to know. That is to say, you saw all of these miracles. Of course you saw them. Moshe says, I'm telling you saw them, and you know you saw them. You saw all these acts of God. However, what does it mean? Le'nosan Hashem lechem lev ladas. La'hakir eschaz de'akadosh baruch hu. You didn't notice. A lot of times a person sees something, but he doesn't see. And then at a certain point says, ah, that's what I was seeing. This is what happened. Now I understand. Now it's making sense to me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe is telling them the Jewish people didn't know Hashem's kindness. They saw, but they didn't understand. They didn't realize. There's a fellow who was directly under the command of Yoni Netanyahu, Zichron Livracha, when he was killed at Entebbe. He was under his direct command. He was in the car that drove behind the Mercedes at Entebbe. He commanded the first assault. And he was in that first 31 soldiers who attacked the old terminal. He's the one who was responsible for bringing the hostages onto the Hercules. He's coming to our shul in a few weeks. So this fellow, he has a bio. So I went over his bio yesterday. One of the things he writes in his bio, he says, for years and years and years, he continued in special forces. He was a commander of Sayyid Makal. He didn't think about anything. Then he retired. And then he went into planning. And then later on in life, almost 40 years later, he decided he's going to, interesting, 40 years later, he decided he's going to write his memoirs now. And he said everything came back to him, like as if it was yesterday. And he said that he realized that the story of Entebbe had a major, a subtle yet major influence on the relationship between Jews in Israel and Jews outside. Why? Because if you didn't go to rescue Israeli citizens, you went to rescue Jewish people. He said, very beautiful line. He said, I flew to Entebbe as an Israeli. I came home to Israel as a Jew. But he didn't realize. This is a very bright guy, very capable guy. But he didn't realize. It didn't resonate with him. 40 years later, he started to realize what he saw. He didn't recognize this, the changes within himself until 40 years passed by. 40 years. That's what we hear over here, but 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu says 40 years passed. Now you have the ability to start to internalize and to appreciate and to understand what you saw. That's the meaning of Le'nosan Hashem Lechem Lev L'das. You didn't have a heart to know. You could know something cerebrally, intellectually. You don't know it. It's not in your heart. There's a knowing heart. And that knowing heart you didn't have. Ad Hayem Ezeh, until this very day. Okay, what day was this? So if you're going to tell me it was the 40th anniversary of Pesach, so okay, that's the anniversary. That's our birthday. But it couldn't be. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is still before the seventh day of Adar. And the seventh day of Adar is the last day of his life, and he's not there yet. Maybe this was the sixth day of Adar. Maybe it was the fifth day of Adar. So it wasn't a birthday. What happened today? If you speak in broad terms, 40 years, it takes 40 years for an event or for a lesson learned to become fully developed and understood and appreciated. I understand that. But what's Ad HaYom Hazeh? What happened on this day? The older Mefarshim tried to figure out what happened HaYom Hazeh. What happened this day? What happened today? So Rashi gives us the most amazing, simplistic, but straightforward, but amazing, insightful response. If we were known for something in the desert, or if you had to say, what did the Jewish people do more than anything else for 40 years, what would that be? What would that activity be?
Probably studying Torah.
Yeah, I would say kvetching.
That too.
We complained endlessly. We grumbled and complained, and then grumbled and complained some more. Endlessly. Everything that went wrong. Why'd you take us out of Egypt? We're going back to Egypt. You must be out of your mind. You don't even know what the country looks like. You left there 40 years ago. Yeah, we're going back to Egypt. As if it must have been great there. Things are so bad here. Where's the beef? Where's my water? Where's my martini? Everything was endless complaining, kvetching. Imagine that Moshe Rabbeinu, after dealing with the most contentious people ever to walk the face of the earth, right? The royal kvetchers. Imagine he sees them kvetch and he says, oh, I'm so happy to see you kvetching. This is wonderful. That's Rashi says what happened today. A very unusual Rashi because he says, Shomaiti. It begins with the words, I heard. Rashi heard everything. If he's writing it, he heard it somewhere. Or he could say, Karasi, I read it, or I heard it. Here he says, Shomaiti. I heard. What did he hear? And we don't know of a source for this. We don't have a medrash. I don't believe we have a medrash that backs us up. Shomaiti, Rashi says, I heard Sha'isha Hayim on that day. Shanasan Meisha Sefer Torah Livnei Levi. That Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah scroll to the children of Levi. Kamesha Kosov. Like it says later on in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy, by Yitna El HaKoyanim Bnei Levi, that he gave it to the Kohanim, the children of Levi, which means that it must have been actually the seventh day of Adar, or so it would seem. That's the day Moshe Rabbeinu finished the first Torah. Bo Kol Bnei Yisrael Lefnei Moshe. The whole nation massed before Moses. The Amru Lei, they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher, Afanu Amadnu, we were there too. We were there too. We were at Sinai. We got the Torah. V'nitna lano was given to us also. Ma'ata mashlit is b'nei shivtcha aleha. Why are you giving control of the Torah per se to your own tribes people? Why are you giving them the Torah? Why don't you give us the Torah? We want the Torah. It's not the Levi's Torah. It's the Jewish people's Torah. We're members of this people. We want our Torah. They're kvetching. How do you think Moshe Rabbeinu felt when he heard them kvetching? And they said, we know what's going to happen. V'yomru lanu, the Levites will yet come and say to us someday, yom mochar, someday in the future, le'lechem nitna, was never given to you. You guys were spectators. We were the players. It was given to us. You see, Moses gave a Torah to us. And the Levites had a good record. They didn't build the golden calf. They never said they wouldn't go to the land of Israel. So the Levites did everything right. And Moses gave them a Torah. He said, we know this is going to go. You're going to claim ownership of the Torah. You're going to claim exclusivity. And you'll say, it was never even given to you. And Moshe Rabbeinu heard this kvetching. And he rejoiced. He said, oh, Baruch Hashem. Finally kvetching for something good. They finally said, why is your sermon only a half hour? Why wasn't it 35 minutes? Never happened. Kvetch, why do you speak so long? Never complain when the hockey game goes into overtime. You feel they got their money's worth. Ah, the hockey game went to overtime. You see that? We paid for a ticket, we got a game and a half. The sermon goes into overtime, everybody, this is crazy. Can't believe it. Wow. How much Torah could he give us in one day? Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, he said, Somach Moshe Adava. He was delighted. This was the sweetest music to his ears, kvetching Jews. They want more Torah. Al Zoy Samar Lehem, he said, aha, now I have compelling proof. I knew at some point you were going to grow up. I knew at some point you would turn the corner, you'd turn 40 and start to be a mensch. You start to get it. It happened. It happened. I had faith in you. I believed in you. I see it happened. I heard a beautiful story that a fellow was by the Kotel in the days after 1967 with the Lulav Rebbe. And he saw people putting on tefillin. Lubavitcher Hasidim putting on tefillin with people. So the Lulav Rebbe said like this. He said, everybody says that Lubavitcher Rebbe is a great believer in God. But he said, I'm going to tell you, he's a great believer in the Jewish people. He believes that these people can put on tefillin and come home. He said, I wouldn't believe it. So Lubavitcher Rebbe believes in the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I always believed in you. But I was like, okay, is that ever happening? You know, I was waiting and waiting. When are they going to grow up? When will they say, yes, we're in. We want this. And now they're kvetching and they want Torah. He said, Hayei mazeh nehiyei shalom. Today we became a people. We don't become a people if we wield weapons. We don't become a people when we vote in a government or have a democracy. We don't become a people when we enter a land. Those are all nice things. It's nice. It's nice to have a government. It's nice to have a king. It's nice to have a land. It's nice. It's nice. It doesn't make us a people. You know what makes us a people? Torah makes us a people. Reb Sadia Gaon wrote, Ein umeinu uma, our nation is not a nation, Ella, save, but Torah. Without Torah, we're nothing. Here today, gone tomorrow. People tell me about their long-standing Jewish values that propel them to fight for crusades that are 30 years old. So how does that work out to be long-standing Jewish values? That whole ideal was just created yesterday. It's a man-made idea. These are ideals that were just created in the last few decades. You're going to tell me that thousands of years of history compels you to follow that? That makes no sense. It's like telling the golden calf. You're the God that took us out of Egypt. You took us out of Egypt. What do you took us out of Egypt? You just fashioned this guy 2 hours ago. How did he take you out of Egypt? It makes about as much sense. When Moshe Rabbeinu said they want Torah, he said, this is a nation. This is a nation. Hayem Azeh, now you became a nation. In other words, Hayem Azeh, today, Hivanti, I understood, Sha'atim Dveikim, that you are cleaving, the Chafetzim B'mokim, you want Hashem. Ah, he says, now I know it's the real deal. And of course, when we became a nation, we became a Chabad nation.
So he had some Torahs waiting in the wings to give this, to all Am Yisrael?
Excellent question. Excellent question, Nathan. He had not only some Torahs, he had another 12 Sifrei Torah.
Hidden, tucked away, nobody knew, nobody saw him writing.
Moshe Rabbeinu was doing his own private little thing. He had little Torahs going at the same time, writing 12 Torahs. And he went back and finished all 12 Torahs and gave every tribe a Torah.
Okay.
Yeah, every tribe got a Torah.
He's obviously a master of security.
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sifrei Torah during the course of his life simultaneously. And he finished them all on the last day. The Rebbe says, if you look at this pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu describes the Jewish people coming into an age of majority, reaching the level of maturity, starting to get it, understanding what this is about, they got Chabad. They grew in the area of Chabad, Chochma and Bina and Das. And the Rebbe says, take a look here on page Kuf. You'll see the Rebbe analyzes the verse, L'nosan Hashem L'chem Lev L'Das, Einayim L'Dis, Einayim L'Shmaya, represents Chochma and Bina and Das. So Rashi's words, Rashi continues, and he says that ultimately a person does not reach Ein Adam Emid Al Das Rabbi, a person doesn't reach the knowledge of his teacher until he goes through 40 years. So this is the point, 40 years, this is when you reach the level of maturity. So the Rebbe says, okay, the level of maturity, let's start from the beginning. Nas Hashem Lechem, Lev L'Das, and Inayim Liris. The Rebbe says, Inayim Liris, eyes to see, this is the concept of Chachma. Chachma. Why? Because Chachma, what they proverbially translate as wisdom, but really is best translated as an epiphany. When something hits you, and a person is not sure of what to do, how to solve a problem, and then they say, ah, I see. the grab, when you get the idea, the aha moment, when you get the idea, we say, ah, I see what you're saying. Chachma doesn't necessarily mean to come up with a new idea or find a fresh solution necessarily. Chachma could mean the moment that you're telling me something, I don't know what you're talking about. And finally I say, ah, I see what you're saying. That's the Chachma moment. I may not understand what you're saying, but I see it. Chachma is metaphorized as driving on a dark road, and there's all of a sudden a huge clap of thunder, and then lightning lights everything up, and you see exactly where you're going, and now you have to recreate it afterwards because it's dark a moment later. But for a moment, you had perfect clarity. Chachma is called Re'iyah Sichlis, seeing with your mind, in our mind's eye. U'kemaymer Chazal, this fits perfectly with the words of the Medrash, Izehu Chacham, who is the wise person, Haroa et Hanola, the one who sees where this is going. That's the really intuitive wise person, the one who sees the next move, sees where this is going to go, how it's going to unfold. So Chachma, Einayim Lires, speaks to the concept of intellectual creativity, the ability to grasp and to see where things are headed. The next thing we hear about is Oznayim Lishmaya, ears to hear. Well, this represents the concept of Bina, of understanding, because Shmia, listening, Mashma'usa, in its intimation is Havana, understanding. For example, we have the brothers of Yosef who are speaking in what language?
Jewish, in Hebrew,
yeah. And what language does Yosef speak? Or what language did they speak? Exactly. And it says, Vahem lo yodu, they didn't know ki shoymeya Yosef. Yosef hears. Of course, you know he hears. They were talking in front of him. They would thought he's hearing impaired. They didn't know he understood what he was saying. So you see, the Torah uses the word hearing for understanding. And this is why people say sometimes in a conversation, ah, I hear what you're saying. Now I hear what you're saying. It's not like seeing it, but it's really, now I really understand it. I hear. And then comes, of course, Lev Lodas. Lev Lodas is a heart to know. Chachma, Bina, and Das. Rashi's comment is, Ein Adam Eimed Al Sev Daite, a person doesn't reach the real profundity, the real depth of his teacher, until Ad Arba'im Shana, until 40 years. So Rashi speaks about the concept of Ein Adam Eimed Al Sev Daite Shor Rabbi, V'chochmas Mishnosei. Doesn't get it. Doesn't so literally stand on the edge or the depth of his knowledge and the wisdom of his teaching until 40 years. So the Rebbe says, in the words of Rashi, once again, we have an emphasis on Chochma, Bina, and Das. Soif Daitoi, that's Das. The end of his Das, that's the concept of Das. Chochmas is Chochma. Einayim Liris. And finally, Mishnosoi, the Mishnah, that's the concept of Bina, of Havana. Because the whole idea of learning Mishnah is, you have to understand it. You can read scripture. You can't read Mishnah. Mishnah has to be understood. And the point that's made here is that we have within the frame of getting it, of maturity, of becoming a mensch, that a person has to be developed in the areas of Chachma, of Bina, and Das.
Is there any significance to the ordering? Because the Torah talks about Das first.
The significance to everything, but not necessarily that we're going to talk about today.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The important thing is that all the factors are here. All the factors are here. And this gives us an appreciation for the Alter Rebbe's school of Hasidus, which is called Chabad, Chachma, Bina, and Das. And we have to develop our intellect fully. And when we develop and harness and utilize our intellectual capacity, as the Alter Rebbe taught, this in turn filters through to the heart, creating and nurturing healthy and grounded emotions. And those ultimately catalyze proper response, the action that's necessary, the performance of mitzvahs, and a life that's filled with a sense of awe and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a result of living in a manner of fully developing Chabad and getting the point, and as a result, kvetching for the right things and yearning for Torah, Meretz Hashem will come to the time when there'll be Malah Ha'aretz Deyes Hashem, when the world will be filled with the knowledge of God, Kamayim Liyom Mechasim. This is going to be our final Parsha class of 5779.
Wow.
The next Parsha class will be next year.
Injuries.
Aksiva vachsimateva and a good kibbutz shirat.
Well, we can sleep in.